So our sending church is in Arkansas, and but my dad's Canadian, so I have dual citizenship. It's the first time I've had the opportunity to live in Canada. And how many of you guys, I'm not going to ask it that way. Toronto gets a lot of responses from people. Love, hate, sometimes strongly both. For us, as outsiders, coming into Toronto, it feels like a foreign country because there's so many foreigners there. Right? God's grace is an amazing thing that equips you and calls you and asks you to do things that really to you don't make a whole lot of sense. Why would God move us to Nepal to start a church and then when things are going really well, tell you to pick up and leave and come to Toronto? I don't know, but I know that God really wants a church in Toronto. It's amazing as we travel around Canada and ask for churches to partner with us in prayer, how many people have looked at us dead in the eyes and say, we've been praying that God would start a church in Toronto for years. You guys know that within the city limits, there's 2.7 million people, almost 3 million people. You see that population sign when you go in, right? 2.7, that's a lot of people. There's two, we're the third independent Baptist church. None of us run a million people. We don't have a million people in our church. There's a huge need. 45% of the population of the GTA were born in another country. And they're just flooding in, right? And what we've seen, too, is as I've talked to the natural-born Canadians, if they've been here for a generation or been here for many generations, they're witnessing to them is very much like witnessing to the man in the video, where they don't have any biblical foundation at all. And it's very much a teaching ministry, teaching people who God is, introducing people to God. Am I still good? Okay, because it. We're so privileged to be a part of what God's doing in Toronto. We started Sparrow Baptist Church July 1st, 2018, so almost not quite a year just yet. And God is using our church and using the people in our church to get the gospel out. There's a young lady that's been coming to our church for a couple of weeks now with her parents. She's grown up in the Toronto school system. She doesn't know that she's saved, and she's confused by it in a way, struggling with some different issues. There's another man from Colombia that I'm witnessing to on a regular basis where we'll just have coffee together. And he says, I want to learn about Jesus. And he's got some needs in his life. And people are looking for somebody to help them know God. It's so exciting, guys. It's an amazing thing to be a part of what God's doing. There's another guy that's in jail, and I go and visit the jail. And he's grown up in Toronto. His parents immigrated when he was young, and he doesn't know anything about God, nothing. And a church member of ours has a connection with him. And I'm okay. I can be loud. I promise you I can be loud. Woo! Let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Nepal has non-conversion laws. It's illegal to try to convert people or give out tracts or witness. And in 2015, they tightened up those laws, and they started deporting people, imprisoning people. And the Lord worked on our heart to leave. and to come here, and yeah, it's a blessing. It's a huge blessing. It's a really unique thing to be able to kind of understand where people are coming from when you see an immigrant, right? And it's like, we lived in Nepal for 7 years. We know what it's like to not have water, electricity, for things to take forever, for the internet to go out for days, right? I'm a bit scatterbrained. That's okay. That's just me when you get to know me a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to talk about the strain of missions. Is this doing that? I'll use the pulpit mic, yeah. Okay, that's good. We'll pray. Hey, it's okay. It's going to be okay. All right, it's going to be okay. It's just the sound system. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity, Lord, just to be in church. God, thank you for every person that came tonight. God, I'm so excited to be able to share what you've been doing in our hearts and in our lives, in our ministry. And Lord, an incredible story. But Father, we pray, God, that now that you would... Lord, that all the attention and focus would be on you and on your word. Lord, we need your grace in our lives. And I pray that you would help me, Lord, now as I preach. Guide me, Lord, as we look at this truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would help every person in this room. Lord, if somebody here is not sure that they're saved, I pray that you would touch that person's heart. Draw them to yourself, Lord. For those of us who are involved in missions in some way or another, I pray that you would speak to our heart and help us as we learn how to deal with the strain of missions. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's look at this familiar passage. It says, let us therefore come boldly, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need is a simple phrase that means well-timed aid. And it has a connotation of something that I had to look up. And it means a rope or chain for frapping a vessel. How many of you guys know what frapping is? Not a frappuccino. I know what you know what that is, right? But frapping a vessel. We've got one. Praise him. Okay? Not him, but praise him. Okay? Frapping a vessel. Here's the thing about missions. Is that it's saying right here, look at it, find grace to help in time of need. This missions conference is bringing an awareness to our minds of the need of the world. And your pastor is being led by the Holy Spirit to encourage you to get involved with God's program to reach the need of the world. Am I right? Okay. Giving. I'm not scared to say giving. Giving. It's all in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Giving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Giving. Amen. It's good. Okay. Praying. To thrust you into a place where you feel the need to pray. Because it's really easy to pray when I feel something. For me. When I'm in trouble. Right? Look at it once again. And find grace to help in time of need. When I have a need in my life, it's pretty easy for me to pray about it. I feel the pressure. And I feel the difficulty. But a missions conference is something a little bit different. It's not necessarily my need. I mean, I could leave here and go back to my church and not even really think about the need of the world, even though
I'm a missionary, right? I'm a church planter in Toronto. And now our local church has the same responsibility that you feel here. But I could say, oh, you know, we've got a small church. We're new. I'm not going to allow myself to feel it right now. And it's so easy when it comes to missions to excuse yourself from feeling the need or truly accepting the fact that God is giving you this burden, this responsibility, this command to go. To go. To pray. I had some people come up to me and tell me, explain to me, describe the way they pray for the missionaries, and some people have these big photo albums, and that's awesome. Praise God for that. The strain of missions is that God begins to lay on our heart and to put us in a place where now it's something that I feel for myself. And not just an emotional thing, because that's weak. That's like Tim Horton's coffee. I said it. Amen. It's weak. He hates Tim Hortons. I don't know. I think he should leave. Yeah, well, pastor asked me to come, so. But God wants us to feel the need. Deeper. The spiritual need. Because we know what the Bible says about the lost. Let's look at a few passages. Let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm going to drink out of this. Did Pastor drink out of this morning? Is it new? Is it fresh? Amen. Look at verse number one. And you, hey, that's me, right? If you're saved, he's talking about you, right? And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, talking about Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Man, why do they do what they do? Let me make this personal to me and to you. Why does Toronto do what they do? Well, they're sinners. They're dead spiritually. They've not been quickened. They've not been made alive. And the prince of the power of the air is working in their spirits, poking them, prodding them, antagonizing them to follow after their flesh. Right? Is that right? Okay. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the reality of the situation in the world. That's the reality. The photos of much of our video presentation are people that I know that are either have been saved, or they still need to get saved. The reality of the world is that, of missions, is that God sees the need, the true need of our heart. It's not an economic need. It's not a money thing. It's not cultural refinement that we need. What do we need? Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what they need? Their real need is salvation. Their real need is salvation. Their real need is the good grace of God It's the grace of God in their life that they need. But as we're sitting here as a church and we're seeing the slides, it's so easy to say, oh, I feel that, I feel that, I feel that. I know deep in my very spirit and heart that if I allow that need to become my need, then this is going to change me somehow. I'm going to have to give up some time and pray. I'm going to have to give up some money. I'm going to have to cut out some of those Frappuccinos. Or ice cap, if you're a Tim Hortons person. Right? The stress of missions is that God is taking his reality, what he sees from his word about everything, and he's trying to push it over on your lap. Amen. We uncomfortable yet? I'm uncomfortable. Because it's so easy for Christianity for me just to keep it in a place of comfort. You know why it's difficult for some people to go to Toronto? It's because it's uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about the traffic. I'm talking about all the stuff they do. All the stuff that's described in verses 1 through 4. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience and the nature that's coming out. It's uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable when God had us move to Nepal. Man, I'm telling you what, Brother Mark Logan is unbelievable, is he not? Oh my word. I want to be him when I grow up. And as a Christian, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm looking at his pictures, I'm thinking, God, let me do something for you. Right? Uncomfortable. This guy's a Hindu, and this guy's a Buddhist, and this guy's a Muslim. I'm thinking, man, how'd they get saved? How'd they get the gospel? I want to do that too. It all happened when somebody said, God, your reality, I'm allowing you to work that in my heart so that now I feel the need. And I've got to do something about it. I've got to do something about it. And whether or not you have a personal need in your life right now, or if you're perfectly fine, or if through this missions conference, God is starting to roll the need over on you. And God's working in your heart in a specific way and saying, I want you to do this or that about it. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 4, and we're going to see God's plan for what to do when there's a time of need. The time of need. The real need of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. They need his grace. They need his grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This conference is a time where God is taking the need and he's rolling it onto our laps. He's rolling it into your heart. He's rolling it into your life. And there's something about a need, a distressing need. And it goes back to the definition of where it says, and find grace to help in time of need. A need needs outside help. A great need needs outside help. And that's where we get to this definition where it's talking about frapping a vessel. Now take your Bible, go to Acts 17. That's not right. Acts 27. Sorry, verse 17. Acts 27, verse 17. Now, this is a story about the Apostle Paul, who was on a voyage to Rome. Now, remember, he was a prisoner. He didn't have a choice here. Okay? He's been captured. He's a prisoner. Very slow, long journey from Jerusalem to Rome. Look at verse number 9. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Let me just say this as we roll into this definition and application. Paul knew that problems were going to come up. There was going to be some difficulties that came. Okay, it was the season for that, which it says in verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. Okay, and so they knew that a big storm was coming up. Man, I feel like I need to move. Are you recording this? Oh, this is going to be good. This is good practice. He's sitting in the boat, and he knows there's a storm coming. The season is coming, right? And it's just like that in many places of the world. There's a typhoon season, right? In Nepal, they had a monsoon season. My dad was in the U.S. military, and he grew up in the States, but he had dual citizenship, and of course, it came to me as well. And one of the places that we were stationed was in Guam, in between Hawaii and California. Little bitty island. And every year, they would have typhoons. Typhoons are these gigantic storms, like a hurricane. And we lived in this house that the military provided for us, and it was a cement block house. And they also provided these boards, these big, large boards. And when the typhoon season came and they would sound the siren, my dad would run outside, and he would board up all the windows. You talk about scary, I mean, as a kid, right? And the lights would go out, flicker, flicker, flicker. Right? And you'd hear it. You would hear it. The wind would be howling. And they would put the boards on the windows so coconuts and street dogs, I mean, what, right? Things flying through the air, it wouldn't come crashing through the window. Oh, there's Fido. Right? And it's like that in many places of the world. They have a stormy season. Okay? And so he knew, hey, this is coming. The stormy season's about to come. It's about to get bad. Now look what it says. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. That means it was uncontrollable. You know, there are some people that are deathly afraid of getting involved in missions because they're afraid they can't control it. If I let God speak to my heart, I think he's going to try to get me to do something I can't control. Yeah, it's called faith. You with me? Amen. There are some people that aren't here tonight because they think God might make them do something that they can't control. I'm losing control. I can't lose control. Verse 16, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps. That's the same word, helps. Find grace to help in time of need. Same word, helps. What is the helps? It's ropes. Undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Now look at me. The ships of old, they were all made out of wood, right? And so they would have the framework, and then they would have the boards, and they would form the boards to the framework, right? And they would nail them on there and fasten them onto the framework. And then they would tar and pitch, and they would put some waterproof it. They would waterproof the wood, okay? Well, in these big, gigantic storms, the force of the wind itself and the force of the waves crashing into the vessel would literally cause the boat to come apart. The boards would start popping off. At this particular moment in the storm, they weren't so much afraid of the waves coming in and sinking the boat as much as they were afraid of the strain that the storm was placing on their boat. And it could literally rip the boat to pieces. And of course, then they would all be dead. They would all drown. The boat would be lost. The ship would be lost. So they had over in a certain part of the boat, they would have a collection of cables or ropes extra. And if you were just looking at it, you would think, what's that extra stuff for? We don't use that. But it was for a moment like this, when there was a great time of need and they needed an outside help. And what they would do is they would take these ropes and they would fasten one to one side of the boat and over the deck and completely underneath the hull, completely underneath. And they would literally wrap the boat with these ropes 6 or 7 times and squeeze it all together so that it wouldn't come apart. And you know what it does for a Christian when we allow the Lord to launch us out into a place of need? For many, for the very first time in your life, you come to truly understand the strength of the grace of God in your life. There are some people in this room that are terrified to get involved with what God's putting in your heart to do for missions because you don't think you can do it. I can't do that. Missions is not about what you can do, because then you would get the credit. Missions is about what God can do, and it's by His grace, and therefore He gets the credit. Let me show you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Missions is signing up for strain. Missions is signing up for stress. I'm a transparent kind of guy. So if this makes you uncomfortable, then good. There are times in Nepal that I would flip the visor down on my motorcycle helmet, and I would put in some Christian music in my earbuds, and I would just pretend like nobody was there because I didn't want to see the reality of the Hinduism around me. The need was too much. But that's what we do when we don't recognize the grace of God in our life and we don't accept it and we don't pray for it and we don't ask for it. And there are so many people when it comes to the need of the world that they just say, send someone else's kid. Kids, we're going to go out and play in the park this week because, missions conference is coming and I don't want that kind of strain in my life. That'd be good. That'd be bad for your mother. But it'd be fantastic for the need of the world. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or I want to draw your attention to, that's the wording, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. There was a need, a financial need, for Paul and his missions, but also for the church at Jerusalem. They were in great financial straits. And they allowed the Lord, His grace works in our heart to cause us to be willing to get involved with something that's way too much for us to get involved with. I can't witness to that person. That person's from this background or that background. I don't have the words to say. I don't know what to do. I couldn't possibly invite them to church. God, you want me to give how much? There's no way I could do that. Deep poverty. We can't. You realize that we can't make a difference in this world. But by the good grace of God, with Him working in us and through us, we can. We can. Some people call faith promise missions grace giving. And both work. This is not about what you can do. This is about what He can do. Oh, but man, He's thrusting me into this place of need. Yeah, I know. So what are we supposed to do when He does that to us? Well, I'll give you the answer at the end. I'm almost done, by the way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, have you ever heard a preacher say, I'm not even close to being done? Oh, we don't say that. We're not taught that in Bible college. They don't teach us that. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 10. Apostle Paul, let's sit down and find out how you were able to do what you did. How could you? Was it your education? Your background? Your zeal? He says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know what missionaries need, church planters? Man, we need the grace of God. We're in a place in need. And in a place in need, you feel the stress and the strain of what's going on around you to the point where you feel like you're starting to come apart. I can't handle this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Let's go back to Hebrews and then we'll be done. Hebrews 4. So how do you handle the strain of missions? By the way, there may be a personal issue you're dealing with right now, a strain in your life. And I know we're talking about missions. This is a missions conference. You may have a personal strain in your life, and you're thinking, I don't know what to do. Look at verse 4. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain. I love that word. Look at that. We may obtain mercy and find grace. That's something specific. It means you have it or you don't. You've obtained it or you found it, or you haven't found it and you haven't obtained it. It's either with you or it's not. It's not just a fleeting feeling. It means God, in his good grace, gives you help that makes a discernible difference for the strain that's going on. And find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to ask you this question and we'll be done. In this missions conference concerning what God may be laying on your heart to do, or to increase your prayer time, or to increase your giving, perhaps even to go, maybe even to go on a missions trip. Have you asked for grace? God, would you give me your grace? Some of us need to quit praying, God, what do you want me to give? Because we know what he wants us to give. He's not going to change his mind. He's not really into changing his mind. But he will give you the grace to do what he wants you to do. Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. And ask the pastor to come and close out the service as the Lord leads him. I just want to challenge you. The grace is there to undergird you and wrap around your very heart and life so that you can do what God is prompting you to do.
Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's take some time and let's talk to the Lord. Let's pray for God's grace, whether in giving or the circumstances of your life. My wife's going to play 204, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's take some time and talk to the Lord.